Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be joining us from. It is me, Dr. Clark. I am here this morning flying solo as my partner in crime is not able to be with us today. But I thank you in his absence for joining us so that we can continue the conversation here on When Numb Is Not Enough, where we are discussing how to embrace the pain and live life with intention and purpose as we journey through this thing called grief and loss, and talk about navigating and learning strategies and tools to help us along the way. Because I don't have access to the board today, I can't see who has called in. I can't see the email. So if you have a question or something you want me to discuss, if you can send an email to Dr. Clark, DrClark, @gmail.com, I can check that email and I'll be able to answer your questions. So during our time together today, I thought we would just talk about grief sponsors, revisit grief triggers, and just kind of talk about things that constantly remind us. So just as they have sponsors like for AA or for NA, there's also grief sponsors. And so your grief sponsors pretty much act in the same capacity. And so when choosing a grief sponsor, it's important that you're choosing someone that you can trust, someone that can be the container, someone that has the mental capacity and fortitude to be able to be there in that time of need. Sometimes it's just a matter of just them holding that space, just you knowing they're in that physical space. But this is one of those support members that you have on your team that you know that you can call no matter what time it is, day or night, and you know that you're going to be supported and that they're going to give you all of them in that moment when you need them the most. And so they're very important. We've talked about along the way how to choose your support team and the importance of your support team, right? And so it's the same thing. We want to make sure that at all times when we're looking at those who support us in any capacity, we're not just looking for our homegirl or our homeboy. We're not just looking for our mother or our spouse, our significant other, or our sisters. It may be someone outside of your immediate network, because each person on your support team should have a specific role. And so it's important that you know that as you're going through your journey, that you look at what your needs are and look at those things that are important to you that you feel that you are going to need out of a support team, out of a support network, and then really do an inventory of those who are in your circle to see who may be able to fulfill those roles. And do not feel bad if you can't identify anyone in your immediate circle. Sometimes the best support that we can get is outside of the circle that we're in, because sometimes we're so close to those within our circle until we sometimes see things with blinded eyes, and they have a tendency sometimes to miss something, and it's not done intentionally, but it happens. And so see where you are in that process and be able to put your support team together, because those moments will come to where something will happen to trigger you and take you back to that moment to where that loss occurred, and you'll need someone to kind of pick you up in that moment, or you'll need to be able to depend on one of the coping skills or the strategies that you have learned that you are continuing to work on and to build upon as you go through this journey of grief and loss. I found myself in that space this week, as this month, the 27th of this month, will be the 55th milestone birthday, earthly birthday of my brother, who in November will have made the transition 2 years ago. So as the family is preparing for this celebration and knowing that this is coming up, it's taken me back to some places. And I must say that just on, I want to say Wednesday, a Thursday, I found myself in a very challenging space. I was just sitting there in my car, and all of a sudden, those emotions came flooding back. And so I had to give myself the space. I had to give myself the permission. And still, it was a little hesitancy there, right, because I was in a public place. Even though I was sitting in my car, there were people around me, and so there was a little part of me that was a little hesitant about, no, you can't do it here, you can't do it here, and I fought myself for a moment, and then I had to remember what it is that I sit with people, and I show them how to do, and again, I had to allow myself to be the work that I share, that I sit, that I do with others, and I had to have that conversation that I talk about having with the loss. I had to have that conversation, not just with my brother, but with my dad, because what happens is that the feelings for both of them come back at the same time. Now, granted, the flood of emotions that come with my brother's transition is always a little more challenging for me than it is my dad, for the simple fact that even though we lost my dad was a little older, right? And so it was just a little easier to see that transition happening. I got to that place of acceptance a little easier. It doesn't mean that those emotions of loss and that pain doesn't come back as I reflect on seeing him lying there at those last moments. But because of where he was and the circumstances around my dad, I can breathe a little easier. Sometimes I can accept those things in my brother's life, but sometimes I cannot. Remember I said, even though we will work ourselves through those steps, that it doesn't mean that we don't go back to those places, but when we find ourselves back in those places, they are a little easier to manage when we get there, because it's familiar to us, and so we may not stay in that place as long. And so as I found myself sitting there, I had to surrender to those emotions. I had to surrender to those feelings. I had to surrender to that pain that was there, and I had to literally grab hold of it and remember that the conversations and the space that I share with you all every Thursday and every Saturday is part of my honoring both of them and their loss. And so as I prepare for his celebration, I have to constantly remind myself of that. And as I get closer to the book release, I have to remind myself that this is all a part of the choice that I have made to be intentional about how I live going forward so that I can honor both my brother and my dad. And that's the mindset. Remember, it takes a mindset, a shift in how we decide we're going to live our lives going forward. And so remember as well, we've talked about how the grief process seems like it doesn't end. And I stand firm on the fact that in my opinion, and it's my opinion and others may feel different, the grieving process does not stop. Those feelings are always with us in one way, shape, form, or fashion. But it's how we respond to those feelings, which is then that mourning part, remember, because there's a difference between the grief and the mourning. Those inward emotions that we're feeling, that hurt, that pain, that sadness, that grieving process, we now get to decide how we allow that to impact our lives. And so remember, the mourning process, that we make a conscious decision as to how we're going to continue to conduct ourselves. And so even though the pain is there, we learn over time how to say, okay, that's that pain from me losing my brother. That's the pain from me losing my dad. That's the pain from losing my spouse, from losing my job, from losing my home, from losing, you know, my friend, whatever that loss might be. We recognize it, but we don't allow ourselves to become held hostage by that thing. We learn how to not allow it to take up that space in our minds. Remember, I talked about the space that we hold in our minds is the most valued and precious space that we will ever have. And we get to choose what dwells in that space, how long it dwells in that space, and how it dwells in that space. And if whatever creeps in cannot bring value to who you are and cannot move you towards your purpose and cannot move you towards your intention, then it cannot afford to hold on to that space. And so we must learn how to day by day, inch by inch, give up that space to that thing and take our power back. And so I just wanted to come in and leave those words with you today. And I'm hoping that all of this got registered. You can look me up at drclark.rotm@gmail.com. You can call me at 818-646-6606, or you can call me at 626-399-6784. Remember, we are Flashback Academy, so feel free to donate as we are working towards getting our vets off the street and our former foster youth off the street and have a place for them to go that they can live, where they can thrive, where they can continue to live life with intention. You can always donate at $flashbacksacademy. And so until the next time we meet, give yourself room, give yourself space to grieve. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.